Thanks, Jay. I'm going to pray too. Father, we are grateful for this morning. Lord, we need your help. Jesus said when he left the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit comes to reside in us and make a home in us. The Bible asks a question, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? God, thank you that in John it says that you reside in us, both Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Father, Jay earlier said the word encouragement, and Lord, we need encouragement. The heaviness of sickness and the heaviness of this coronavirus that has caused so much stress and frustration in people's lives, and now, Lord, with national attitudes and unrest, Lord, we need encouragement and we need hope. And we thank you that there is hope in you alone. And Father, I pray that you'd guide us. Lord, I pray that we would be hungry for the scriptures that we look at. I pray, Lord, that Holy Spirit, that you would teach us. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is the teacher. And Father, as we look forward into 2021, this new year that you have given us, we're hoping that it's a different kind of year. And Lord, I pray that as we look forward into this year and we think about reaching wide to unbelievers and growing deeper as Christians, building our foundation, Lord, and joyfully serving Christ, God, that you would give us new energy and new hope and enthusiasm, and Lord, that we would be serving you out of a grateful heart. We just talked about how we are thankful people. Lord, we want to serve you out of a grateful heart. Guide us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So today we're gonna talk for a few minutes about this idea of being joyful servers in the body of Christ. And you know what happens with servers? Sometimes they get tired. Sometimes they get worn out. Sometimes they've been serving for a long time and they're just exhausted and wishing for more people to come along and be helpers along the way. We're going to talk about joyful servers today. Talk about the heart and the preparation of the servant. You know, God calls us servants. We are his servants. The Bible tells us very clearly that we were a servant to sin, now we're a servant to Christ. That we used to serve Satan, and now we serve Jesus with our lives. And that is what he's called us to. And I'll just say this in a very simple way. Christians serve. Okay? It's kind of like Thanksgiving, Jay. You know, is it an option for Christians to give thanks? We want to give thanks. But in the same way, Christians serve. They use their gifts and abilities and talents to serve. And so what I want to talk about is the servant, really the heart and the preparation of the servant. I think of, so here's just a couple of questions. What do basketball players do? They play basketball, right? What do apple trees do? They make apples. What do pear trees do? What do football players do, right? It's the same answer. Whatever you are, you do. And what do Christians do? Christians bear fruit. Christians serve. Christians follow their master. And we're going to talk about the heart of the servant. So the first thing is, how do Christians become Christians? And I just want to going to jump around to some few scriptures. In John chapter 6, verse 29, the disciples are asking the question, what do we do to do the works of God? And in verse 29, this is what Jesus answers. It says, Jesus answered, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. So the first thing you did, and the first thing that I did, was that we believed in him whom God the Father sent to us. And what did we believe? We believed that he was God the Son, Okay? So he is God the Son. We believe that he is the Christ, the Messiah, like the woman from Samaria said. She said, we know that the Messiah is coming. And Jesus said, I who speak to you am he. I who speak to you am he. And then after you believed in him and you know who he is, that he went to the cross for our sin and that he was buried in the grave and that he rose again, so we serve a risen Savior, and we become servants of the living, risen Savior. And that is a joy. That's a challenge. That's why we do what we do, is because God is real. And we say, you know, I will exalt you, O Lord. So the first thing is that we believe. And then in Ephesians chapter 4, just turn there. I'm going to jump around, and I'm hoping you'll jump with me. In Ephesians chapter 4, we are servants, and we serve, and we have been equipped to serve. The church is part of that equipping. It says this in chapter 4, verse 11, he gave apostles and prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. And then there's some fruits of that, unity and faith and knowledge and maturity and so on. But we are equipped as the saints for the work of ministry. So all Christians serve Christ. He is the master, we are the servants. And then he challenges us, and we've talked about this many times, but Matthew 28 says, and just, you can almost say it with me, go ye therefore into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you to the end of the earth. And I'm just going to say again that that's where we get our mandate. Go ye therefore into all the world. And so we reach out. And so we're going to talk about that at our meeting today. Go ye therefore into all the world and make disciples. Disciples are what? They're learners. There's a teacher and there are learners. And I am a disciple of Christ. You are a disciple of Christ. You are growing in the knowledge and understanding of Christ. And it says, go ye therefore into all the world and make disciples. And it says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you to the end of the earth. And he says, I am with you as you live out your servanthood. I am with you to be there to give you strength, to give you depth, to give you encouragement, to give you hope, that while you are living out your service, while you're living out your walking with Christ, that you'll know that he is with you. I don't know how your weeks go, but I know that there are many times during the week that I am very glad that he is with me, that he is with me and I am not alone. There are some times during the week where we feel very alone. And alone can have a whole bunch of other emotions with it. And he has promised that he will never leave us or forsake us. So we're challenged to go, to reach wide, and to reach out. In Acts chapter 1, would you just flip back to Acts chapter 1 in your Bible? And Jesus here has... he has risen from the grave. He's appeared unto his disciples. He has told them to go. And here's what he says to them in verse 6. Right after or about the ascension time, it says, so when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. And let me just say to you, it is important and good that we understand prophecy. And we think about the fact that the second coming of Christ is going to happen and he is going to return. By the way, are you excited about the fact that Christ is going to return? I'm ready. I have people who say to me, I'm ready today. You know, ready for the rapture to come first, the rapture first, and then the second coming of Christ. But it says this, let me say that it is good to know prophecy. It's good to understand the Word. Why we want to be in the Word. The Word keeps us from drifting. The Word keeps us from sin. But what we know is this, we will never know the day and time. No matter how much we study and no matter how much we anticipate, we will never know the day and time that Christ is going to return. Jesus says the Father knows and the Father has kept that to himself. So he's basically saying to them, he is coming, but until he comes, be a servant. Be a follower. Be a Christian who is being used. He says, so when they came together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or season that the Father has fixed on his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. And that's what he challenges us with. He says, you will be my witnesses. And you are a witness. You're a witness every day of your life about Christ. And sometimes we're more intent and we're more focused on that. And so we're more intentional about being a witness. But Jesus says, first of all, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And we know that when we were saved, the Holy Spirit came to live within us. The Holy Spirit is living in you. And every day he manifests himself to you. Seek him. You know, Rollins said he was reading through Matthew. I don't know where you're reading, but I'm going to encourage you again, read your Bible. Have a routine with your Bible. Pick it up. Have a place where you've been and a place you're picking up in your Bible. If you, honestly, if you want to be encouraged, if you want to keep from drifting, you need to be in the Word where you can learn about him. You can walk with him. So in the scriptures, it says, you will receive power. You will receive the Holy Spirit. And you know, as you fill your heart and mind with the Word of God, and you say no to the things that tempt you, and you say yes to Christ, that is allowing the Holy Spirit to control your mind and your thoughts and your passions and your purpose. And we need that. We need that. The Holy Spirit has come upon you, you, and this is the witnesses. This is the servant part. He says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And then it says, as he was saying these things, he was lifted up and Jesus was gone. And what did the angels say to those who were standing there? Stop standing around. It's time to get busy being witnesses. Let's go be witnesses for Christ. And that's what we're talking about, servants, witnesses for Christ. We are challenged to go, challenged to reach out. And we are not only taught to go, but we're directed to go, ye therefore, into all the earth. And share the gospel. So I would like to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4 for just a minute. And this actually is a very important passage to me. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. When I think about a servant and I think about going, I want to be, and I want you to be prepared. On the basketball court again, I'm just going to keep using that example because it keeps popping in my mind. Josh asked me, when are we going to shoot hoops again? My daughter Juliana had me out there today, last week before she left back to San Diego. And she said, Dad, let's shoot hoops. And you know, I actually got a little bit better this week. You know why? Because practice makes you better. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, let me just read these words to you. And here's the point that I would like to make. As a servant, as a witness, as a representative of Christ, as a person, as part of Pioneer Bible Church, as witnesses of Christ, we have to have a solid foundation. We have to know what we believe and why it's important and what we're telling other people along the way. We have to. Verse 6, he says, Paul speaking to Timothy, if you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Jesus Christ, being trained in the words of faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. Can I just tell you that as you read the word, as you are part of a Bible study, maybe you go to BSF or you go to ladies' Bible study, maybe you watch sermons of pastors that you enjoy on YouTube or Vimeo or on television, you are studying and thinking about the word of God. And the more you practice, the more you will have a solid foundation and confidence to share the word that you have. It says in this word, it says, Paul to Timothy, he's given him some other direction before. That's what he was referring to. Then he says, being trained in the words of faith and of good doctrine that you have followed. Verse 7, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way. Listen to these next words. As it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. So Paul is challenging you and me, as he challenged Timothy, to grow deeper in our faith, to grow deeper in our knowledge and our understanding of the teachings of Scripture. It's going to make a difference if you understand what the sovereignty of God is all about. It's going to make a difference if you understand being chosen by God before the foundation of the world. It's going to make a difference in how you give thanks, as you were talking about earlier, Jay. It's going to make a difference when you understand being justified by Christ, that your whole sin debt was wiped out. So in this passage, it says, being trained in the words of faith. And I'm just going to go back to the Old Testament, and you think in the Old Testament and the Gospels and the book of Acts, how God worked with the people of God and amazing things took place. You will understand your God better, and how your faith works and who your faith is put into and how you live. It is going to change how you respond to the present things in your life. It says in this word, Paul says to Timothy, being trained in the words of faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. And then he says, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. There's a whole gamut of things to talk about silly myths. But we live in a world where silly spiritual myths are everywhere. And people are hoping and basing their faith and trust on things that are just myths. You guys, our faith as Christians is not built on myth. It's built on truth and experience. You guys, I need and I want us to be solid in what we understand. And the more that we are in the Word, the more solid we will become. In verse 7, the second half, it says, rather train yourself. Think of that whole idea of practicing for the basketball game. Train yourself for godliness. And then he makes this cool correlation and comparison between physical training and spiritual training. He says bodily exercise is temporarily good. And we all agree, I need to bodily exercise more. I've been eating too many things and exercising too little. Bodily exercise is good for the temporary, but look at the words here. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in what? Every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. What a great gift God has given to us, is that our hope in Christ and our godliness, our relationship with Christ, has given us hope and purpose for today and for eternity. That's what we have, that's the gift that we have, and that's the gift that we offer to other people. You know, when we do different ministries that we're going to talk about as a group in the months to come, that's what we're going to be able to offer people. Hope for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Not just hope for this present life, but hope for the life to come. These are amazing words. It holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. For to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God. And I just want to say, for to this end we toil and strive. When I think about being a servant of Christ, and I think about being a witness for Christ, it says, this is why we toil and strive. This is why we work on it. This is why we spend time with God. This is why we are part of the church community. And by the way, this is God's body. This gathering of Christian people and the gatherings of Christian people all over the world, we are Christ's body. We are the chosen ones. We are the team to reach out for Christ. For to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. We have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. Verse 11 says to Paul to Timothy, command and teach these things. Timothy was younger than Paul, and Paul was teaching him the Word of God, and Paul was teaching him about how the Word of God led up to Christ coming, the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. And as the younger one, he says to Timothy, let no one despise you for your youth. Okay? And actually, our youth group used 4:12 as kind of the theme of our youth group for a long time. Still talk about the 4:12. This is the scripture that comes from. And it says this, don't let anyone despise you for your youth. Why do you think Paul says that to Timothy? What do older people tend to think of younger people trying to teach them something? Oftentimes, older people are demeaning, or they don't think that the younger people's experience is valuable. I'll tell you what, God uses younger people. That may be a good example of learning from younger ones. You guys, God has chosen people of all different ages to carry his message. Paul says to Timothy, don't let people look down on your youth. And then there is this calling up that Paul says to Timothy. And I'll tell you what, it's a calling up for us as well. Here it says, let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example. That's what we do. We are to set for believers and unbelievers examples. In other words, we're to live our life in such a way that our life is an example, a reflection of our Savior, of Christ. So the way you speak sets an example. Let me read all four things. It says, set an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and to teaching. Let's just talk about that for just a moment. So Paul says to Timothy, Timothy, you're chosen. I'll say to you, Sherry, Clay, you're chosen. Roland, Nancy, Rhonda, we're chosen by God. It says, so as a believer, it says, set the believers an example in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. So those are five things that Paul says to Timothy. The way you live your life will speak to the people that are around you about your relationship with Christ. So he says, set an example in the way you talk. How important is it, the way we talk? It does. It does. In James, you guys were studying, you know, if a man is perfect in what he speaks, he's a perfect man, right? So we're to set an example in the way we talk, in the words we choose, the attitude that we say the words we choose, the body language that goes along with our words. You know, you can tell somebody something and it almost means the exact opposite depending upon your body language. Did you hear me? Yeah, I heard you. You know, be an example. And the whole thing is motivated by what Christ has done for us. I mean, sure, we have strained relationships with other people. And maybe the other person doesn't deserve a gracious response. But God says, be an example in speech. Then, be an example in conduct. The way you act. Where? The way you act at AutoZone, the way you act at Raley's, the way you act at work, the way you act at home, the way you act when you get up, the way you act when you go to bed, the way you act when nobody's watching. Yeah. Sometimes we think we're alone, though. Yep. Be an example in speech, in conduct, in love. I wish I had more time, but in Luke 14, I just want to talk about this word love for a minute. In Luke 14, Jesus is speaking, and this idea of love, you know, so we're supposed to love one another, we're supposed to love the brethren, we're supposed to love as Christ loved. In the body, we've talked about 1 Corinthians 12, we're all part of the body. Some person's an eye, some person's an ear, some person's a foot. We're part of the body. And then it says you are to have mutual respect for every part of the body. And thinking about this idea that we're to be an example in love. And then 1 Corinthians 13 says love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious, love is not boastful, love is not proud. Love keeps no record of wrongs. There is an attitude of love that should be in my life as a Christian husband, dad, man, father, pastor. There should be aspects of love that just looks over all kinds of things in other people's lives, that doesn't hold records of wrong, that doesn't evaluate whether a person should be loved or shouldn't be loved. There shouldn't be comparison where I'm thinking that person's not as capable or that person's more capable. God just pushed us all together. Somebody said one time, like a jar of gummy bears, you know. God pushes us together as the body of Christ, and he says, love her, love him, love him, love her. He says, let this attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So we're an example in speech, in conduct, in love, and then in faith. In faith in our God, in faith as we walk our walk as a Christian, in faith expressed in trust of our God that he will see us through. And then the last one he says, be an example in purity. And there are so many scriptures in the Bible that talk about purity. Purity is really an example of trust and faith. Purity. Purity of thoughts, purity of actions, purity of in motivations. Paul was saying to Timothy is, people are watching your life, Timothy. I think God's saying to me and to you right now, people are watching your life. You are a Christian. You're a Christ-filled person. You are redeemed. You have a new master. You're no longer a slave of sin. Now you're a slave of Christ. And as a slave of Christ, as a reflection of Him, God's chosen to use us. And He says, I want you to be an example in speech and conduct and love and faith and purity. So when I think about us as Christian people, we are challenged to go. And then, so one of my old, in fact, he was a pastor. Some of you remember when I left Pioneer Bible Church to go to Southern California, go to seminary. And when we left, we went to a church called Paramount Evangelical Free Church, and there was a pastor there whose name was Wilbur Nelson. And earlier I thought about this, and I wanted to tell you this. Wilbur Nelson was a faithful preacher of God's Word, and he wrote a book out of 1 Corinthians. And you know what it was called? It was called Believe and Behave. And that just really sums it up. You believe, so behave. You have trusted in the Lord, so walk with the Lord. So the first kind of section was we go as Christians and we live. And I just wanted to highlight this passage of Scripture about how we live. Look at Colossians chapter 3. All of Colossians is just an amazing passage of Scripture. Starting with verse 1 through 17, we can't certainly look at all of that. But I'm going to put a couple of words together right now. First of all, we are Christians. Then we are servants, witnesses for Christ. Then we are servers of Christ. We're volunteers. And I just want to say that there is a set of guidelines, and they're not they're challenging. They're not impossible because the Holy Spirit lives within us. But there are these set of guidelines, this new list of fruit that you will pick off the tree of your Christian life. And in Colossians chapter 1, it's kind of like general guidelines for those of us who are Christians. Let me see where it's just, chapter 3. Did I say 1? Colossians chapter 3. I'm sorry I made you jump around there. Very familiar. Since then you have been raised with Christ, and you are, seek the things that are above. So now there's a new seeking. Don't any longer seek the things that are below. Don't seek the worldly things. Seek the things that are godly, that are above, that you find in this book right here. So we're going to seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So the first thing is you're going to seek. Then you're going to set your mind on things that are above. That's why Paul said to Timothy, he said, I want you to rehearse the things of your faith. Rehearse the things of faith in the Bible. Understand good and sound doctrine. So you're setting your mind on things that are above, not on things of the earth. And then he just reminds him. He says, for you have died. Now, how is that? We've died to the old man, right? We've died to the old man. Now we're a new man. So he says, you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. That is a cherished place to be. to be hidden in Christ with God, in God. So you have come into the presence of Almighty God in the keeping of the Christ, the Son of God. And you, I don't know, it feels like a place of safety, a place of hiding, a place of security. You are in, you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Verse 4, and this is the kind of the promise, the hope. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. And just let me say to you, that's a looking forward to passage of Scripture. When Christ, who is your life, appears, and he's gonna, then you also will appear with him in glory. Praise God. What great hope. So then he lists these things. And these are kind of general servant things to do, both things to avoid and things to do. So verse 5 says, put to death, therefore, what's earthly in you. And then he goes, here's the list. Sexual immorality of all kinds. Impurity. By the way, this is the opposite of purity that Paul was talking to Timothy about. Put to death, therefore, these things, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. By the way, if the Christian focuses on these kind of things, what happens to us if we as a Christian focus on these sinful behaviors? We do. We lose sight of God. We get all messed up. In fact, Christians can get to the point where they feel unworthy. They feel defiled. They feel like giving up. Covetousness is idolatry. And he says, on account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. For those that aren't saved, for those who have never believed and trusted and put their faith in Christ, when God returns to distribute his wrath, he's going to distribute his wrath on people who live like this, who've never turned to Christ. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them away. And then he adds more to the list. Put away anger and wrath and malice and slander and obscene talk from your mouth. Stop lying to one another. See that you have put off the old self with its practices, and you've put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. And so he's got this list of things to put off, and he's got this list of things to put on. He's got these list of things that had to do with the old man and a list of things that happened to do with the new man. And you know, frankly, as a servant of Christ that we are, as a witness of Christ, friends, I live in the same world you do. I see the same ads on TV you do. I have an option to watch. We have options to watch the same things on television everybody else has to watch. How do we not participate in that stuff? How do we walk the walk? You choose. Got that little black box in your hand? You push channel, new channel. I ain't going to stop there. You know why? It's not that those things aren't tantalizing and interesting to watch or hear or participate in. It's that they ruin us at that moment. They defile us and they discourage us and they isolate us. All through the Scriptures, God says, don't let the deceiver deceive you. And frankly, you know, the older I get and the closer I get to the end, which I'm doing every day, getting closer to whatever my end is, I just think, Lord, I want to be effective for you. I don't want to spin my wheels, God. So you've put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge. And you see that word knowledge? We've seen faith and we've seen training and we've seen good doctrine, and now we see the word knowledge. All of that has to do with learning about your God more and more, so you have a stronger and firmer foundation with which to stand upon. Being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. And then in the next verse he says, we're all one in Christ. There's no difference. It doesn't matter what nationality you are. It doesn't matter what gender you are. It matters that you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. And verse 12, so therefore put on as the chosen ones, holy and beloved. And then he has this list. So the servant, the witness, the Christ follower, he gives this list of things that we are to be about. Put on then as chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if any has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let's just talk about this for a minute. Verse 12, put on as the chosen ones, the holy and beloved. And then it gives this list. And I just want to say, as we do the things that we do as a witness for Christ, as we do the things we do as his servants, this kind of stuff is going to make a huge difference. So whether we're handing out food at food bank, or whether we're sitting with a group of kids at Awana, or whether we have an outreach, we had a lot of talk about doing a community barbecue and some really neat events to just let people in the community come out and we could serve them and be part of them and introduce them to Christ. He says, put on as God's chosen ones, compassionate hearts. That is a really important quality, that we as godly people have a compassionate heart, not just to the people out there, but to the people in here and the people in your own home. Have a compassionate heart. Exercise kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Kindness. You know the people who are kind to you, the people who speak kindly, the people who act kindly, the people who bring things to you in a kind way. I think she likes you, Mark. Compassionate hearts, kindness, humility. You know, there's so much about Scripture about humility, about each esteeming others better than themselves and being humble before God, humble before other people, humble when you've been wrong, humble when you've been wrong and somebody calls you on it and now you have to fess up and take responsibility. That quality of humility, of meekness, which is strength in godliness, that you are strong in your understanding of Christ, yet you are meek before God and have an attitude of meekness, and then of patience. You guys, the list just goes on and on and on. I think I'll just try to wrap up my thoughts. We are called to serve joyfully. We have been given a new master. We're no longer serving the old master, sin and Satan. We're serving a new master. And he says, and basically, Christ has called you. He's called me. He's saying, Jim, trust me. I want you to use this flesh that you have been given, this tent that you've been given that houses the Holy Spirit of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I want you to use your body and your gifts and your abilities to promote Christ however you can. That's what God is calling you to promote Christ however you can. He's to believe and behave, to, like the basketball player. I mean, if a professional team signed a basketball player and the basketball player never showed up for practice, wanted the paycheck, but never showed up for practice, didn't work on his skills, wouldn't play in the game, wouldn't do what the coach says, what would we say about that player? Yeah, maybe was never really on the team. He signed his name, but how do you know? How do you know he's on the team? Because he shows up to the practice, and he plays the game, and he plays according to what his coach says he should play, and he plays the position that the coach puts him in, and he plays for the team. You know, you think about hot doggers on teams. People who want to hog the ball and people who want to run the game all by themselves, that's not what God called us to. God called us to a team effort. And he says, I want you to be a faithful player. That's what God's calling us as servants and witnesses to be. Today, I wanted to get to the place where there are kind of these general servant guidelines, as we see in Colossians and Romans and Ephesians. And then he even puts more specific guidelines on those who will be in further leadership, pastors, elders, teachers, deacons, and so on. And James 3 talks about being careful if you're in that position because you're accountable for the words that you speak. But all of these guidelines apply to us. And so he says, be careful. And then I just wanted to say this, that there is a consistency that God is looking for. I'm just going to say these phrases. So we go, we live, we commit to this life, we have convictions about this life, we produce, the Bible says that we're to have fruit unto righteousness, we sacrifice, meaning we give of our time and our talent and our treasure, all of us do, as servants. That's what players on the team do. And then you know what we do when we've done all that? We do it over and over and over and over and over. It's like, Lord, I'm tired. Let them do it for a while. Let him do it for a while. Let him do it for a while. And you know what? He refreshes us along the way in so many special ways. But after we get done doing all these things for Christ, and we do them because we love him, we have a new master, he's the coach, we're going to do what he says, then we do it over again and over again and over again. And I just want to say thank you for doing it over again and over again and over again. Loving Christ, serving Christ. And you know what? We're going to do it over again. And some of us are going to meet at right after this service, and we're going to talk about doing it over again. We're going to keep reaching. We're going to keep growing deeper. We're going to keep developing our servant-hearted, volunteer spirit in the body of Christ. And in that first passage that I read, it says, and in Christ, we not only have hope for today, but we have hope for eternity. And that's what we're living for Christ, so we can do that. I'd like to just invite the worship team up and to lead us in a final song, and I'd like to pray as they're coming. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you. What an honor it is to be children of God. Lord, thank you for rescuing us. Thank you, Lord, for justifying us, taking away all the penalty of sin. You have forgiven us. You have justified us. we are in the process of being made holy. That's called sanctification. And we are servants of the Most High God. And Lord, forgive me when I say to you, Lord, I'm tired. Help me to be refreshed in you. To let your, in fact, 1 Corinthians 15 says, don't become weary in well-doing. Lord, help us not to become weary in well-doing. And I pray, Lord, that we would be players on the team who have not only signed the signature line, but that we are committed to practice and to listening and obedience and playing hard, maybe even kind of sweating in the game of following Christ and serving Christ. God, we thank you that you are a faithful God. Lord, right now, I just want to pray over our meeting that we have in just a few minutes. I want to pray, Lord, that you would, Holy Spirit, that you would give us ideas, that you would give us sequence, that you would give us people who are willing to sign up and say, I can do that. Lord, that you would provide for us so that we can do the things that we're attempting to do. Lord, I pray that when this year's done and we're praying 2022 in, I pray that we'll be able to look back and see the faithful hand of God and how you have led us and used us to your honor and glory for another year. God, we love you. We're frail, Lord. We have issues and problems and things that will trip us up. But Father, we are humbly before you and saying, God, here I am. I would like to be used again to your honor and glory. And that's what I am, Lord. I'm here again, and I pray, Lord, you'd use us to your honor and glory. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and worship our God together.
And our God is faithful and able to keep us holy, to walk us fully into the land. He is a mighty warrior who rules in mercy. His name is worthy of all of our praise. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. His kingdom of love be decreed. Let all of creation rise up and adore him and say with a shout, we're redeemed. Our God is faithful and able to keep us holy, to walk us fully into the land. He is a mighty warrior who rules in mercy. His name is worthy of all of our praise. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. His kingdom of love be decreed. Let all of creation rise up and adore him and say with a shout, we're redeemed. Our God is faithful and able to keep us holy, to walk us fully into the land. He is a mighty warrior who rules in mercy. His name is worthy of all our praise.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to just take a few minutes. Maybe we'll start about 20 after, give an opportunity for those who need to leave, and those who are going to stay, and visit for a few minutes. Yes. What? Oh, yes. Yeah, we have oranges and lemons that have been picked off of local trees, and they're by the kitchen counter, and there are really a lot of them. So if you'd like to take oranges or lemons, please do that. All right.
There's bags there for you to bag some up and orange you happy.
Even though we're all going, I'm going to say, Lord, thank you for today and use us to your glory, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're dismissed. Hi, Pat.
What can you tell me about BSF?
We meet